Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, imagine yourself in the small Galilean town of Nain around the fall of the year 31 AD. You, along with much of the town, are walking in a procession. You're on your way to lay to rest the body of a young man who had passed away earlier that same day. The procession has made its way from the family home through the winding streets of the town, now is coming to the city gate. Not far outside of town is the family burial place, probably a small cave in the side of a hill where the body will be laid to rest. Among those walking with you, some are carrying spices to anoint the young man's body. Some others play a song of mourning on their wooden flutes. At the front of the procession is the young man's mother. As she prepares to lay her only son to rest, you remember another time when she had made the same walk to lay her husband to rest. At that time, her son had walked with her, and now she walks alone. Your heart goes out to her as you wonder how she'll be provided for now that she is alone. Following her, the pallbearers carry the funeral bier, a board on which rests the young man's body, covered with a cloth. As the procession makes its way from the city gate toward the family burial site, you see another smaller procession approaching, coming toward the city. At the front of that procession is a man that you have been hearing a lot about. He grew up only about 5 miles away in the neighboring town of Nazareth. And over the last year or two, a lot of people have been talking about him. They say that this man, Jesus, has been amazing people with the things that he has been saying and doing. Some people are saying he's a prophet. Some are even wondering if he might be the long-awaited Messiah. You've been curious about him, and you're probably thinking that it's too bad he didn't come on a happier day. But anyway, here he now is, walking on the path toward the city, accompanied by a number of his friends. Now the two processions meet, going in opposite directions, and they both stop. The man coming into the city looks to the woman coming out from the city, and his heart goes out to her. And Jesus gently says to the woman, "Do not weep." Then he approaches the funeral bier on which her son is being carried, touches it, and says the most startling words that you have ever heard. He says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And while those words are still registering in your mind, you see what is by far the most startling sight you have ever seen as the young man does rise. He begins to speak, and Jesus presents him to his mother. This young man had been dead, and now he lives. A procession of death met a procession of life, and life has overcome death. And the source of this life is Jesus. Jesus and his life-giving word. Now I ask you to go through that scene again. But this time, instead of picturing yourself processing toward a first century burial site, this time picture yourself approaching some event that is coming up in your own life that you feel apprehensive about. Instead of a funeral procession, you might be approaching a difficult conversation with someone you care about. Perhaps a difficult challenge at work, or a visit to the doctor that you're feeling nervous about. Maybe you're nervous about your own health or maybe the health of a loved one. But whatever it is that you see lying ahead for you, whatever it is that you worry might lie ahead for you, now look beyond that and see Jesus approaching. Watch and see Jesus coming to you and joining you in your time of difficulty, just as he came to the widow of Nain that day. See his heart going out to you, just as it went out to her. And as he said to her, "Do not weep," hear him now say to you, "Do not worry, do not be afraid, for I am with you." And as he reached out that day in the midst of death and brought life, see him also reaching out to you, coming to you in whatever challenges you might face, and bringing you new hope, new strength, new life. See him coming into your shadows of worry or hopelessness or fear, and see him chasing those shadows away with the light of his mercy and grace. See him coming to you when things look their very worst. See him standing at your side and holding you up. See him inviting you to lean on him, and see him bringing you through the darkness and into his light. See him giving you a fresh start, standing in his grace. That is Jesus' good and gracious will for you. Jesus said that he came to us so that we may have life and have it abundantly. And that certainly includes the gift of eternal life with him in heaven. But it also includes the gift of new life right now. A life of knowing that you are loved and forgiven. A life of knowing the care of your heavenly Father, the redeeming love of Jesus Christ, your Savior, and the comforting presence of his Holy Spirit. A life of knowing that there are treasures laid up for you in heaven. A life of knowing that you have brothers and sisters in the Christian faith who care for you and pray for you and are there for you now. Life that flows from the forgiveness that God washed over you in your baptism, the forgiveness that God speaks into your heart through his word, and the forgiveness that he feeds you with in his Holy Supper. All of that is yours now. And why is it yours? All of that is yours because of what happened about 2,000 years ago when a widow lost her son. But now I'm referring not to what happened in Nain in our gospel reading, but rather to what happened to another widow's son in another Middle Eastern city in the first century. About a year and a half after the events that took place outside the city gates of Nain, another woman stood outside another city, this time the city of Jerusalem. Like the widow of Nain, this woman too had already lost her husband. And like the widow of Nain, this woman too saw her firstborn son seemingly overcome by death. Only this time, unlike what happened in Nain, Jesus didn't come walking into the scene to comfort the mother. This time, Jesus was the son whose death the mother was mourning. In the city of Nain, Jesus' heart had gone out to a widow in need of help, and he brought her son back from death. And about a year and a half later, Jesus' heart went out to a world in need of help, and he gave himself into death. He died in our place to take care of the problem of death once and for all. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead to proclaim his victory over death and the grave for us. A much greater victory than what he had accomplished earlier in Nain. In Nain, Jesus had brought one man back from death, and that was a wonderful thing. But that victory over death had been for one man, and it was a temporary reprieve. The man who was raised that day in Nain would go on to live a natural life and to again die a natural death. What Jesus did in Nain was great, but what Jesus accomplished for us in his own death and resurrection is much, much greater. By going to the cross for us and making a way for us through death and into life, Jesus won for us not just a temporary reprieve from death, but an everlasting victory over death. And he did that not just for one man, but for all of us. So that complete victory and unending life now belong to all who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And connected to him by faith, that life is yours. It will be yours eternally, and it is yours right now. So hear Jesus say to you today and every day, the same words that he spoke that day in Nain when Jesus said, "I say to you, arise. Arise each day in his grace and treasure the life that he has given you and treasure it abundantly." In the name of Jesus, our light and our life, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.